grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So this past Monday was Labor Day, right? But what is Labor Day? No, I'm not going to get into the history of the day or anything like that. I just want to know what it is. Do you know? According to the U.S. Department of Labor, Labor Day is, quote, an annual celebration of the social and economic achievements of American workers. There you go. That's the textbook definition of it. But what do we really think it is? I think most people see it as just a day off from work or school and the unofficial end of summer. Right? Sometimes life is like that. There's the official answer to something, and then there's what you really think about it. Like, for example, imagine you're in school and you're taking a test. You've studied for the test and you're doing what you can on it, and then you hand it in, and then what? You quickly delete all that information from your brain because you thought it was all nonsense. Yes, there are the classes where you actually remembered what you learned because you were interested in it, but that's a different thing. I'm talking about the classes where you just wanted to say you passed the class and that's it. You just wanted to tell the teacher what they wanted to hear. So there's the official answer to the test and then what you really thought of the material. Or think about what you say to other people. Like, have you ever told someone, wow, you were amazing at that? When secretly you think, wow, that was bad. Yes, at times you give them a genuine compliment because they really did do a good job, but again, that's different. I'm talking about those times when you just say what people want to hear so you don't hurt their feelings. Right? We've all done that. Peter did it too. Look at today's gospel reading again. Jesus and his disciples were in Caesarea Philippi, which was in northern Judea. It was a town built by Philip, son of Herod the Great, to honor Caesar Augustus. So it's basically Philip's Caesarville. Everything about the place screamed that Rome was in charge. There were signs of Roman culture and Roman gods everywhere. And it was here that Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Today, he might say, what do you read about me on your Facebook feed? And just like reading various viewpoints online, they answered him, well, some people think you're John the Baptist. Others think you're Elijah. Still other people think you're one of the other prophets. Oh, but then teacher Jesus dropped the one question exam on them. But who do you say that I am? And like my question about Labor Day, there's the textbook answer and then what Peter really thought. Right? First, Peter says, you are the Messiah, which of course is correct. We know that. But even though that's the right textbook answer, I want us to pause here for a moment, because I'm not sure why Peter said that. Did he say it because that's what he thought Jesus wanted to hear? Or did he say it because he actually thought it was true? Like giving a genuine compliment to someone. Like, did you mean that, Peter, or were you just saying it? If he really thought it was true, then why? Right? The image of the Messiah that most people had at the time was somebody like King David. Somebody who would be a strong military leader. Somebody who's going to conquer all the neighboring lands. But Jesus hasn't done anything like that. So far in the Gospel of Mark, he's taught some people and healed some people and did some miracles, and that's about it. He hasn't shown any sign of military strength or the desire to conquer other people. So I'm really not sure why Peter said this. But whatever the reason, it was right. Then Christians throughout history have copied his A+ homework and said the same thing. Because that's what we're supposed to say. But then, of course, there's what Peter really thought. Jesus explains that as the Messiah, he has to suffer and die and rise again. Of course, that's not big news to us, but it would have been big news to them. Right? Peter and the others would have been familiar with the idea of suffering for God. Think about Abraham and Moses and, well, John the Baptist and Elijah and all those other prophets. Right? They were obedient to God and then suffered in life because of it. But the Messiah shouldn't suffer. He should be the one to get rid of suffering. Or so Peter thought. So after Jesus says this to the disciples, Peter tells Jesus what he really thinks. He takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. Now, we aren't told what Peter said to Jesus, but chances are pretty good he was trying to talk him out of going to the cross. Now, before we criticize Peter here, we need to realize that sometimes we are right there with him. Right? We say that Jesus is the Messiah because, well, that's the right answer. That's what we're supposed to say. But, like the question I asked about Labor Day, is that what we really think? Maybe for some people it is, and if so, that's great. But for others, maybe their view of Jesus is that he's supposed to make their life of suffering just go away. He's supposed to take care of them and protect them. He's supposed to immediately answer all their prayers and do what he can to make their life easier. I mean, if he's really God, then he should intervene and make life better, right? Any loving father would try to do that for his kids, so he should do it too. Which means many people today want Jesus to be that stereotypical Messiah. The one who gives strength and protection to his people. Right? We don't want a weak Messiah who suffers and dies like the rest of us. We want a strong and powerful one who's actually going to make a difference in this world. Well, but then Jesus tells Peter in front of everybody else, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Yeah, that's a bit harsh, calling Peter Satan. But it's also appropriate here, too. Because the other place that we've heard about Satan in the Gospel of Mark is Jesus' temptation scene in the wilderness. So that means this is another temptation for him. Jesus is being tempted to take an easy way, to be the Messiah people expect, to be that strong leader who conquers lands. But Jesus won't do it, because that's not what being the Messiah really means. That's putting your mind on human things instead of divine things. So Jesus will not be the Messiah Peter expects, or the one we expect. And because of that, there's a third answer. Right? The first answer is the standard textbook answer that we know we're supposed to say. Right? You are the Messiah. The second answer is what we really think. You're the one who's supposed to make my life easy. But the third answer is Jesus' answer. That's the one that says the Messiah suffers and dies and rises again. Now, of course, we already know that, right? So maybe that's become the new textbook definition for us. But let's think of it like this. Being the Messiah means suffering and dying for the sake of sinful people like Peter and us. So think about how we relate to other people. Right, there are always people in your lives who get on your nerves. There are people who make decisions you don't agree with. There are people who think differently than you or act differently than you. And most of the time, we either ignore them, criticize them, try to convince them to be like us, or physically attack them. But when Jesus comes across those people, who, by the way, are actually us, what does he do? He dies for them. He dies for us. He dies for you. I mean, here we are, people who prefer our comfortable little lives that focus on our own happiness, people who've been trained to say the right things about Jesus, even if we think he's irrelevant, people who want Jesus to just make our lives easier, and yet he dies for us. That's love, my friends. That's what being the Messiah means. Even though we are messed up people, Jesus still loves us. And that's amazing. Right? That's how he changes people. Not with the sword, but with the cross. And that's also why he tells us to follow him. Right? He told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." But that didn't just mean get out of my way. It also meant get behind me and follow me. Right? Our role is not to tell Jesus who to be and how to act. Our job is to follow him where he leads by carrying our cross and going where he goes. Now, carrying our cross doesn't mean that you have to deal with some burden or inconvenience in life. Like, well, I guess this is just my cross to bear. No. Carrying the cross means loving people like Jesus loves us. It means loving those people who get on your nerves. It means loving the people you don't agree with. It means loving the people who make your life difficult. That's where our discipleship really plays out. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, but it does mean you have compassion on them. You don't have to agree with what they say, but you also don't lash out at them. You don't let them get away with sinful behavior, but you do still give them another chance. Now again, that could be the new textbook definition of what discipleship is. Well, what we really think is, yeah, I don't think so. No, I'm not going to do that. But then there's the third answer. There are times when people actually live this out. There are times when people are patient and kind with you, even when you get on their nerves. Because let's face it, sometimes we are the difficult people in somebody else's life. There are also times when you share this love with others. Sometimes we actually follow Jesus because we really mean it. Like giving somebody that genuine compliment. And of course, we're not perfect at it. Sometimes the cross becomes heavy and we stumble under its weight. But that's okay. Because ultimately, Jesus is the one who carried the cross. He's the one who died on it. And he's the one who conquered the grave after it. Even when we're like Peter and think we know what's best, Jesus still dies for us, still brings us to new life, and still calls us to follow. So no matter what the question is in life or what the answers are, there is always Jesus. The one who shows us the strength and power and grace of the cross. That's what being the Messiah and being a disciple is really about. On Labor Day, and every day. So, in the name of the one who is the Messiah, who calls us to follow, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.